You'll know what I'm talking about. There is no food giveaway here tonight, as I think Kelly already said, but there will be on Sunday. So everything is going good. Tell me about the temperature. Is it hot, cold, or just right? How many of you say it's just right? Okay, that's good enough for me. All right, then. If you've got your Bibles, turn to Psalm 34 and verse 8. And this is what the word says there. Oh, taste of the Lord and see that he is good. Blessed is the person that trusts in God. Let me tell you something. If you're trusting in God, you've already got a blessing. And there's nothing better, no higher power, no bank account, no country, no army, no doctor. Nothing is better than, first of all, foremost, trusting God. We believe here that God can heal any way that he wants to. He can heal by medical science, by rest, by medicine, or by the divine power of God. And as my wife just prayed, that's how we pray. And you know what? We leave that other part up to God and to that other person. You know what affects prayer sometimes? There are some people, just the way they are, they're not bad, but they can only get it one way, okay? We don't have a problem with that. We just want them to get it. That's how I want your hearts to be. We just want people to get it, don't we? Yeah. Amen. Does it matter to you, sister, how they get it? No. I know it doesn't. I've known this woman for about 6 years now. She's a blessing. Praise God. The two P's, okay? And the word says here, taste of the Lord and see that God is good. You know, the word says in 1 John chapter 4, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. And he that loveth not knoweth not God, because God doesn't just love, God is love. Okay? And that's what we teach here. We don't believe in teaching against other denominations or churches. That is totally against the word of God. We do not believe that we have it all here. We believe that there are many good churches in Logan County, and we love every one of them. And we want you to know that and understand that. We don't have it all. We've got the part that God's given us. Amen? And I want you to, that's the way I want you to grow. That's the way I want you to know. Because anything else causes divisions in the body. And Jesus' famous prayer in John chapter 17, he said, oh, Father, that they would become one even as we are one. You know what? We've got a ways to go to become one church in Logan County. I'm not worried about the rest of the world. I'm concerned, and my prayer directive is for lower Logan County. I want all the churches to get along in Logan County. Amen? And there are some good ones. And if a person's Baptist, I have no trouble with that. If they're Catholic, I have no trouble with that. If they're whatever denomination, if that's what's keeping them, and I don't want you to have a problem with that either. We're just part of the body of Christ. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. Amen. Joint heirs with Jesus, washed in his blood. Amen? That's the way I feel about it. The two P's, that's what we're going to teach on tonight. And to taste here, it says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see that he's good. That word taste there means to get to know God, to know him in a way that you would know food. I'll know if I like it when I taste it. And taste of the Lord. And for the next four places we're going to go, we're going to try to see how to taste of the Lord for yourself. And I just really believe I'm not the only one. I'm one of millions. I've been tasting of the Lord for many years. We start in the Word every morning, my wife and I. And God is good, and he's good all the time. He's good when we don't understand. He's good when we don't think he's with us. He's with us. And look here. According to John 16:33, in this world, this is the words of your Savior. In this life, in this world, we're going to have, each one of us are going to have tribulation. So we should be settled with that. Realize that's part of what happens. But through much tribulation, does one enter into the kingdom of God, okay? And where we're going, it's as we pay our dues here, and what are our dues? To live the way that Jesus wants us to. I want everybody to know from the back to all the way through here, God has a purpose for everybody's life. For it is written in Romans 8:28, all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. And it's taken me a long time to realize, I prayed for years, Father, bless this here. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. Bless my plans. And I began to realize that was an imperfect prayer, that was a deeper prayer, that when you love God and you understand things enough that you realize, and every morning, Millie and I say these words, the last words that Jesus said on the cross, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And I say, I'm not asking you to bless my plans. Forgive me for all the times I ask for that. God, what is your plan for my life today? I want to be right where you want me to be. I want to be right involved with what you want me to be involved with, because I trust you. Okay? The two P's. I'm preaching a message called the two P's. Okay? And all of this that I said has to do with the two P's. And tasting of the Lord, taste of the Lord, and see that the Lord is good. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. In other words, Scripture declares, all in Scripture inspired by God himself, that the Lord is good, and the Lord loves you. And he doesn't just love. God is love. He is the fountainhead of love everywhere, everywhere. And mankind has been lost since Genesis chapter 2, where we ate of the fruit. Genesis chapter 4, where we had the first murder, where Cain killed his brother Abel. So we have to realize who we are, who God is, and we need him. We need him. I like what Billy Graham said. If all we got in this life was the benefits of being a Christian in this life, it would be wonderful. It would be worth having. The Christian life is worth living. Jeremiah, I know you've been living the Christian life for several years now. What do you think about it? Is it wonderful? Can you just give me a quick yes or no? You can go like this. If not, I'll go till I find. No, he's with me. I know he is. I love Jeremiah. All right, then. We're sharing a message, the two P's, all right? If you would turn with me to Matthew chapter 5, and I'm going to read verses 44 and 45. And this is what these are the words of Jesus. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. Let me say this here. You know what? The children take after their parents to a great degree, not completely, not all the time, 100%, but here in this teaching, that's exactly what happens. Pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. Now, look at, this is what he's talking about in particular. For God makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, both of them. And he sends rain on the just and the unjust. There's nobody like God. What is your goal? What is your goal? What should a believer's goal be? To be like God. To be exactly like God. Well, what if I didn't make that today? Keep working at it. To be like God, to do things the way God would, okay? Because that's who we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be his seed on earth, according to 1 John chapter 3. That's who we are. We should be living like that. And you know, I have to confess to you, I haven't found that easy to do to people that hurt me, my family, my church, my neighbors. I haven't found that easy to do. But I found it that he hasn't changed his mind. He wants us to love people. He wants us to love our enemy. Whoever would challenge you more than the Creator God? You know, the only reason he's saying that, because you can do that. You can be kind to the unlovely, the unthankful, the ungrateful, the people that are hateful and complain and gossip. You can do it. I can do it. That's why we're here on Wednesday night for 1 hour. The two P's. I'm getting down to the two P's. Let's go to Luke chapter 6 and verse 35 and see this verse again, just a little bit different. This is Jesus again speaking, saying, but love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. Did you know who carried the money purse among the 12 apostles and Jesus? Judas. Judas carried the money purse. And Judas had a problem with money. And he sold our Savior for 30 pieces of silver. And when it finally caught up to him, what he had done, he tried to reverse it. Church, listen to me. This is important. There are things when we hear about them, don't test it out. Don't try it. Because there are some things we can get into that could take many years out of, and that could also take maybe we can't get out of them at all in this lifetime. You know what those things, you know what you do with things like that? When you've made those terrible, terrible, terrible mistakes that are actually sins, that's what these altars are for. To get that under the blood. We've got to get things under the blood. Why? So they won't come up against us. If they're under the blood, if God himself, by the power of the Holy Ghost and by the finished work of his Son Jesus, blots out our sins in Jesus' blood, they're gone. They're gone. I want you to remember that. That's why we're here tonight. That's what's important about a communion service once a week. That's why we started this years ago, and God began to give me one revelation after another about communion. Because we know that, did you know that most of the Bible, Old and New Testament, is not directed toward unbelievers? It's directed toward believers of both testaments. And I want you to know there's hope for us, every one of us, and that God hasn't given up on anybody in this room. And God is with you. And hence, if God be for you, who can be against you? According to Romans 8:31. The two P's I'm preaching. And I'm going to start again from the beginning. But love your enemies. We're in Matthew. Okay. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he makes the sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the just and the unjust. I think that we're at Luke 6:35 now. Father, help my brothers in the sound booth. I know it's me. Father, forgive me and help me to be more clear. Everybody pray for me. But here's Jesus again. But love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest. For he is, listen to this here. This is the part, this is why I grabbed out this verse, because it's a little different twist on the same idea. For he is kind to the unthankful, and he's even kind to the evil. Brenda, you've known me for a lot of years. That ain't easy for me to do. You know that, don't you? Yeah. I've got a, you know what? I'm like Janis Joplin saying, only I'm saying, God, take another little piece of my heart. Now, Lord, change me. I believe that I can change. And I believe that you can change. I think the number one thing, do we want to change? And if we want to change, I think God will give us the power. He'll create a way where we can change. And you know what? Every change that I've ever made getting closer to God brings me something. It's a peace. It's a joy unspeakable. There's just nothing like feeling like you're making progress with your salvation. Since I was 19 years old, in the summer of 1971 at 1765 Cathay Drive on the east side of San Jose, California, I asked Jesus at my mother's kitchen table to come into my heart. At 19 years old, I realized I had messed everything up. I didn't feel like, I said, if I'm praying into the air right now, there's no hope for me. Because if there's a God, as he's been described for me, I need him. I need that God. Well, I found out it wasn't a farce. I got a Bible that I could understand, like Kelly brings up. I want you to know I agree with her 1,000,000%. I think she got that from me. Find a Bible that you can relate to. Now, I like to preach out of the King James, but I have a lot of translations. How many? I don't even know how many I have. And I get something from every one of them. You find you a Bible that you're comfortable with, and you know what? You'll fall in love with the Holy Scriptures. And see, that's what it takes, because it is written in Luke 4 and Matthew 4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Yeah. So I'm preaching the two P's, and I've only got two places left to read. And so I love you all very dearly. I have judged you, and I perceive everybody in this room, including this young man right over here that I've just now met. You're here because you're sincere, because you love God, and you've come here, and what you want to know, is there any hope? And I'm telling you, every time I get behind this desk, there's hope. Every time I pray for somebody, I'm saying with my life, there is hope, because I know if there's hope for me, there's hope for you. I've seen people in this room like Sam McElhaney change 1,000,000,000%. Just change 1,000,000,000,000. And little Chrissy over here that plays the piano, thank God for her. She's always been the same person. She was beautifully saved when I first met her. I think she was a teenager maybe when I first met her. And I love her. I love all of you. I see Jesus in all of you. I see good in all of you. I see high potential in all of you, from the oldest to the youngest of you. And let's go now to Romans chapter 2 and verse 4. And I'm going to describe his goodness. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering? Do you not know that it's the goodness of God that leads you to repentance? Now, I have heard more messages, especially when I first got saved, of people that try to make you fear God, that threatened you with what you're going to get. You're going to get yours if you don't. But I'm going to tell you something. I grew up on the north side of Chicago in the early 60s. I know what it is to threaten other people and to be threatened. And you know what? But I never experienced somebody that would just be as merciful and patient with me as God has honestly been. And the best thing that I've got in this life, and it took me many years to realize that from God, is I heard him 3 times tell me to marry that woman right there, my wife, Millie. And it's been 51 years now. We just celebrated 51 years. With God's help, we're going all the way. And I've learned in our morning devotion to say, Father, thank you for Millie. Thank you for my wife. Did that come right away? Sadly, no, it didn't. I'm just being honest with you. I think the best thing I can do for you guys is just to realize who stands behind this sacred desk. Whoever it is, they're just folks, just like you. No better, no worse. We're just folks. Can you hear me good, Paul? Good. You need to know that, because that means there's hope for all of us. God loves every one of you. And he has a purpose for your life. That means he's got a plan. And you know what? It's a good plan. As it says in Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 11 through 13, I know the plans I have for you, he says. They're good plans to give you success in life. And he says, the way that that happens, by verse 13, he says, and the way that that happens is this, when you start to seek me. And by verse 13, he says, when you seek me with all of your heart. And in May of 1987, I wrote a song that we sing still, when you seek me with all of your heart. That was one of the founding principles of this ministry, that we would remain as a church people that would seek, children of God, that would seek God, seek his direction, his will, seek that power to forgive enemies and to live like we're supposed to. And every Wednesday night, he's about to, as he listens to your confession, if you have anything, he's already got a big container of mercy for you. For it is written in 1 John 1 and 9, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and he has a legal right to forgive us for our sins. And not only that, to cleanse us from our sins. Every recovery in the world came from the Bible. Alcoholics Anonymous started many years ago, and where they got people to say, hi, I'm so-and-so, and I'm an alcoholic. And what they were teaching was a Bible principle. You can't get anything, you can't get over anything that you're denying is part of your life. You got to, you know what? Before you're ever honest to God or anybody else, you got to be honest with yourself. And I tell people, if you're doing great without God, just go ahead and stay like that, really. I mean, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong. But I can't. I'm one of them people. I need God. I don't just want God. I need God. Because I've found him. I've tasted of the Lord and seen that he's good. And I'll tell you what, in 51 years, I found that God is exactly who he says he is. Exactly. And he's able to do things and save us from situations where they look like, there's no way I'm going to get out of this. There's no way this is ever going to be right. I want you to know God's for you from the back to the front. He's for you. He cares about you. He loves you. And I'm going to tell you something, maybe the most powerful thing I can tell you. Everybody that's awake, you look at me for just a moment, and I'm going to say it three times. I'm going to tell you something about God. God believes in you more than your parents or your loved ones. Over here in this section here, I want you to know something. I'm not telling you what I think. God believes in you. He believes in your life. He believes in you. One more time. I want you young people to know this here. Everybody's young over here. I'm not old, but I'm getting close to starting to be old. I want to just say this to all of you right here. God, honest to God, he believes in you. You know that, don't you? And he can make things happen, can't he? Miracle, beautiful things. Amen. I want you to know, each one of you, God believes in you. He believes the best in you. He believes the best, and he has the best in the sound booth. God believes in you, and he has the goods to give you the best life and the greatest desire to bless everybody in this room. That's who we're dealing with. That's the God that we're dealing with. It is the goodness of God. See, I just never found anybody. There wasn't a lot of people that was, bless you, sweetheart, that was interested in being patient with me. the little bit that I heard about God was, man, he's going to get you. I mean, really, that's what seems to come out now. Starting in about the mid-60s, we begin to get a different flavor of the gospel that talked about the miracle power and the love of God. And I can tell you something. He loves you. He loves you. And what God did to me that changed me, can I honestly tell you? Will God correct you? Yes, he will. But you know what? More than the correction, what I took note of with God, he never left me. And he showed me in his word, one of the first things I learned about God is I will never leave you nor forsake you. And he has never, you know what? I have never left him, but I have greatly disappointed him and my family and my friends and my enemies and my neighbors. He brought me closer to him, not from the threats that I was going to end up in hell, but behold what manner of love the Lord has bestowed on us, 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, that he would call us his children. I never found the end of God's mercy. I'm just telling you the truth. I tell this and it's the truth. It's sad truth. I did most of my worstest sinning after I got saved, because I got saved when I was 19. And I was born to be a sinner, man. I remember our grandfather took Ralph, my nephew, my uncle, and Ricky, my cousin, and me. He said, listen, this is what you need to know. He was brought up in Chicago. He ran beer. And he said, if you kill somebody and you're standing over the body and the gun's smoking, he said, take the gun and put it down and just look at everybody and say, I didn't do that. Now, that's what I grew up learning. And you know what? My grandfather was serious. That's what he meant. My grandfather taught me my first guitar song, my first song on my guitar. And it wasn't, oh, how I love Jesus. It was freight train going so fast. He was a hobo. He actually traveled the hobo, did all of that stuff just like you see on TV. But I want you to know something. You're interacting with somebody that if you taste of the Lord and see that he's good, what you're going to find is nobody loves you as much as he does. How many think that might be true? Yes. Okay, we're going to go to the last place tonight. And since we're not having food, I might even get us out of here a little early. But I'll tell you what. Turn with me to Psalm 46 and verse 10. He loved me into change. He didn't threaten me into change. The two P's are found right here. Psalm 46:10 says what? Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted on the earth. Be still and know that I am God. The first verse was taste of the Lord and see that he's good. Okay? And this is how you taste of God and see that he's good. You be still and know that he's God. And what that means is this. And here's your biggest enemy to this here. And I have to fight this. I have more interests, I think, than a lot of people. And you know what? I have to temper that in. Because in order to get the full God experience, you have to give him the two P's. And this is what they are. The first is God's Word. The two P's are prayer and the promises of God. You've got to spend time in prayer, and that's not enough. You've got to spend time in the 7,500 promises that are in the Bible for you and you and you and everyone in here. Or it won't make as much. If you do that, why does Satan fight you so much? How many of you realize, man, Satan will keep you from going to church on Sunday if he can? Anybody ever find that out yet? Yep. He'll keep you from reading your Bible. We were challenged a couple weeks ago. Are we going to read the Word? Okay. He'll keep you from doing anything that's going to, where he's going to have to let go of you. Because the Word says, if you resist the devil, he will flee from you. He has no choice. Resist the devil. How do you resist them? With the two P's. With prayer and the promises of God. And when you begin to pray and say the promises of God, and you do that over and over again, that gets down in here. That's where your life starts. Guard your heart, because out of your heart come the issues of life. That is who you are, is what's inside of you. The Word says, listen to a person. Out of the abundance of a person's heart, their mouth will speak. Thank you for hearing my Word tonight. And I would like all these kids to come up here. And let's go to the altar.